Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. And our text for today, and Lord willing, next week, is that verse 5. Acts 8 and verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Philip the evangelist. Philip, the name means a lover of horses. Now, whether he was in real life a lover of horses, we do not know. But one thing we do know, that Philip the evangelist was a lover of souls. He loved the souls of men and women. We may not be told a great deal about him. He's one of the lesser knowns that we meet with in Scripture. But one is very clear. He had a great love and a burden for lost souls. He loved the Lord, of course, loved the Word, and he loved the souls of men. You recall that along with Stephen, he was chosen with five others to serve tables and to care for the widows there in the new church in Jerusalem. We know that from Acts 6 and verse 5. He was one of the seven. And in Acts 21 and verse 8, that's how he's referred to, as Philip, one of the seven. The seven that were chosen by the disciples to serve tables and care for the widows there in Jerusalem. And it's there in Acts 21 and that verse 8 that he's referred to as Philip the evangelist. While he was remembered as one of the seven, he will be particularly remembered as a winner of souls. And that development took place as a result of the church there in Jerusalem suffering great persecution following the martyrdom of Stephen. You look there in the chapter 8 of our reading in verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The apostles remained in Jerusalem, but others in the church were scattered abroad because of the persecution. And they were scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria. Something interesting here. They were scattered. The word is used there in verse 1 and again in verse 4. Therefore they that were scattered abroad. That word scattered is a word that is used in referring to the scattering of seed. The Lord told the parable about the sower who went out to sow. And what did he do? He scattered the seed. It's the same word that is used here, and how appropriate that particular word is used to describe the persecution. Because we are told that they that were of that church that were scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, what did they do? They were scattered abroad, and verse 4 tells us they went everywhere preaching the word. What did they do? They went everywhere scattering the good seed of the word of God. They went everywhere scattering the message of the gospel. They all became sowers. of the good seed of the gospel which brought forth fruit 100-fold. There's also the thought here, you know what it's like if you're out in the country and you start a fire and it comes to the time of putting the fire out, and maybe you get a branch and you start to beat the flames to try and dampen the fire, and sparks fly everywhere, and those sparks can start a fire somewhere else. Well, that's what happened in Jerusalem. The fire of revival was burning in Jerusalem, and there were those who tried to put out the fire, and they only succeeded in starting fires elsewhere, because the people went everywhere preaching the gospel. And one of those who was scattered abroad was this man called Philip. Again, like Stephen, we know something about him. But what do we know about him? His name is mentioned a few times, but have we ever taken time to study Philip and what kind of a man he was? Well, with the Lord's help, that's what we want to do today. And Lord willing, next Sabbath morning, we want to look at Philip the evangelist. This morning, I want us to consider Philip and his ministry. Philip and his ministry. As already indicated, we are first introduced to Philip when, along with Stephen and five other men, he was chosen to serve the tables and care for the widows in the church there in Jerusalem. But now, because of the persecution, Philip's life went a completely different direction. From being in Jerusalem and serving tables and caring for widows, he, along with others, has been scattered abroad. And as he had been scattered abroad, we're told what he did. We're told there in our text, our verse 4, therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So that was where Philip went when he was scattered along with other believers because of the persecution. And here we see, regarding his ministry, we notice first of all his path. His path. The psalmist has told in Psalm 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The word ordered there means established. So the steps of Philip were established by the Lord, even though it was a time of persecution. The Lord would have in his providence have Philip go down to the city of Samaria and preach Christ unto them. It is interesting that it was this direction that Philip the evangelist went, that he went to the city of Samaria. And we were told in the verse 1 that they that were scattered abroad went throughout the region of Judea and Samaria. And Philip was the one who went to the city of Samaria. I say this is interesting. It's interesting because of what the Lord told the apostles in Acts 1 and there in verse 8. What did the Lord say to the disciples before he ascended to heaven? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Where? Jerusalem. Well, that's where they were. They were in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and then Samaria, and on to the othermost parts of the earth. Jerusalem, Samaria, and Judea. And here we have in Acts chapter 8, where the gospel was taken to. It went out from Jerusalem, and it's been taken now to Judea and Samaria. That's where they were scattered to. And as they were scattered abroad, they took the gospel with them, and they sowed the good seed of the gospel. Now think of that. Here in Acts 1, the Lord was telling his disciples that they would receive the power to be witnesses unto him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And I'm sure those disciples did not expect that the gospel would go to those locations in this way. And we see here that it was through persecution that the gospel was taken to Samaria, and it was taken to Judea, and later it would go into the uttermost parts of the earth. And so we see that what Satan meant for evil in persecuting the church, God meant it for good. Just as the enemies of Christ, you recall, just as they had arrested later on Paul and Silas and committed them to prison after beating them. Well, what was the result of that? Why, Paul and Silas led the Philippian jailer to Christ and his whole household. The devil did his worst against Paul and Silas, but what the devil meant for evil, God meant it for good. And Paul and Silas reached the whole family for Christ. And here we see again what the devil meant for evil in persecuting the church and persecuting God's people. The gospel was taken from Jerusalem to Samaria and to Judea. Remember that when Philip went down to the city of Samaria, someone had already gone before. You turn back in John's Gospel to the chapter 4. John 4, we read there, of course, of the Lord Jesus. John chapter 4, and there we read in verse 4, one of the musts of the Master, and he must needs go through Samaria. And of course he did. You go down to chapter 4 to verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, Christ, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. So we read then that the Lord Jesus, during his public ministry, had already gone to Samaria. He had gone before. And I was thinking to myself, well, it's not so typical of the Lord. There was Philip going down to Samaria, but sure, the Lord had gone before him. And the Lord does that. Wherever the Lord has called us, wherever the Lord has led us to serve him, you can be sure the Lord has gone before. He doesn't leave us on our own. But the Lord will go before. Isaiah 45 verse 2. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. So there you have the path of Philip the Evangelist. He went down to Samaria. It was really fulfillment of what the Lord said in Acts 1 and 8. And as well as that, we discover the Lord had gone before him. As he always does, he'll go before his people. He'll go before his servants. As well as his path. Regarding Philip the Evangelist, I want you to notice his preaching. We're told that all they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Wherever they were, they scattered the good seed of the gospel. We can learn from that. It is good to scatter the good seed of the gospel wherever we go. We can witness for the Lord, speak a word in season to someone, give somebody a tract, invite them to come to the church where they'll hear the gospel. That's what we can do. But then we're told about the preaching of Philip. In verse 5, there in our text, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached. Yes. Preach Christ unto them. Here's the evangelist, Philip. And when he went down to the city of Samaria, he preached Christ unto them. There you have, first of all, his focus. His focus. If Philip was going to be a true evangelist, then his focus and his preaching must be upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Philip preached. If there is no focus on Christ in preaching, then the evangelist has no message for a dying world. A preacher has no message whatsoever to lost souls, for lost souls, if he doesn't preach Christ unto them. He's wasting his time. He's wasting his time. If there's no focus on Christ and preaching, then the evangelist has no message at all. And nothing will be accomplished for eternity. I tell you, that is the truth. There must be the preaching of Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians, please. Familiar words of the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23. Look carefully at the words. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul said, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jew a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. See? Paul says, but we preach Christ. There it is. In our pulpit wall. We preach Christ crucified. And what did Paul go on to say? We preach Christ crucified. Christ, the power of God. And the wisdom of God. And the man who does not preach Christ has no power in his message. Christ, the power of God. When there is the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when the power of God will be revealed in the gospel message. The Apostle Peter was aware of that on the day of Pentecost. We're told in Acts 2 and verse 22 that on that day he stood up with the 11 and lifted up his voice and preached Christ unto them. Now, if you were to take time and read the sermon that Peter preached the day of Pentecost, you would find that he mentions the Lord Jesus either directly or indirectly no less than 20 times. 20 times he mentioned the Lord. He spoke about his miracles, his wonders, his signs. He spoke about his cross, his crucifixion, his resurrection. He spoke about his sinlessness, his lordship, and his exaltation. Peter's message was all about Christ. And what was the result then? What was the result of his preaching a message that was all to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God? What was the result? The same day, there were added unto the church 3,000 souls. There's the result of the preaching of Christ. Acts 2 verse 41. The same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. That was the fruit of a man who preached Christ on the day of Pentecost. And I tell you, a man may speak with the tongue of an angel, and he may have the eloquence of Apollos, but if he preaches not Christ, nothing will be accomplished for God or for eternity. Whether Philip was eloquent or not, or spoke with the voice of an angel, we do not know. But the one thing we do know, the one thing we do know, he preached Christ. That's what we know. Praise the Lord. He preached Christ unto them. That's all that matters, is the preaching of the Lord Jesus, as well as his focus. He focused on Christ. We notice his faithfulness. His focus was still on the Lord. I find that every time Philip did his evangelistic work, what we read about him here in the Acts of the Apostles, that whatever he did as far as his evangelism was concerned, he preached the same message. It didn't matter where he was or who he was speaking to. It was the same message. He preached Christ. Boy, that's what you like. That's what you like. It's like the days of C.F. Spurgeon, when he was the pastor there in the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London. His church was filled to capacity every Sabbath day. And sometimes he would tell his own congregation to stay at home and let others come in who were not, you normally not able to get in. But the one thing that everybody knew, the 5,000 people who attended this church, the one thing they knew, that whoever went or how many times they went, they would hear the same message. That is, Spurgeon always preached Christ. And here is Philip the evangelist, and his message was always the same. We read it there in that verse 5, preach Christ unto them. Look at verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And then you go down to verse 35, which we'll be dealing with, Lord willing, next week. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Same message. The message that he preached to whoever in the city of Samaria. He preached the same message to the Ethiopian eunuch as he sat in his chariot. Does that not remind us of John the Baptist? We considered the life of John the Baptist a number of months ago. And the one thing we noted, or one of the things we noted about him, he was like Philip. He preached Christ. Turn to John 1, verse 29. John 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He preached Christ, the Lamb of God. Go down to verse 35. And again, the next day. See, it's the next day. And John's message was the same day after day after day. He preached the Lamb of God. And the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. It was the same message. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. As far as John was concerned, day after day after day after day, he had the same message. That's a good testimony to have. So when people gathered to listen to Philip, the evangelist, wherever it may have been, and whoever was in the congregation, Philip preached the same message. He preached Christ and him crucified. The only message that will save souls, change lives, defeat hell, and glorify God is the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have noted first of all his path, his preaching. That leads us to consider his power. Well, we know that Philip was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Acts 6 and verse 5. That was the qualification for the seven men that were to be chosen to serve tables. He was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And the man who's full of the Holy Ghost is a man who has power. Not fleshly power, but the power of the third person of the Blessed Trinity, the power of the Spirit of God. Isn't that what the Savior told the apostles? And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. The Holy Ghost has come upon you, you'll have power to be witnesses unto me. You see, to be a witness for the Lord, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. And certainly Philip was a true witness for the Lord, and he was a man who was filled with the power of the Spirit of God. So when he preached Christ, he preached with power. And Philip the Evangelist preached Christ with great power, and we see what the result was. First of all, there was the heeding of the word. The people heeded what Philip had preached. Look at verse 6 of Acts 8, verse 6. And the people, Philip has preached Christ unto them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. That's an important verse with regard to the ministry of Philip. You read it again, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. The people with one accord heeded what he had to say. Take that word, heeded. They gave heed. That word heed means to turn towards. It means to be drawn to. So not only to turn towards something, but to be drawn towards it. And Philip preached Christ unto them. And what was the result? The people were drawn towards the message that he preached. They were drawn towards Christ. They gave heed. They turned towards the message. And they gave heed. They were drawn to the Christ that Philip was preaching. So Philip preached Christ unto them, and the people were drawn, the people were turned towards his message about Christ. This is in keeping with what the Lord said. The Lord Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. John 12:32. If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Well, that's what Philip did. He lifted up Christ because he preached Christ unto them. He lifted up Christ, and what was the result? The city of Samaria. Many in that city were drawn unto Christ. And many believed, and many were saved. There is the drawing power of a lifted up Christ. As far as I'm concerned, it's not vain repetition. When before I bring the word, I always ask the Lord to give me power to preach Christ. That's what I want to do. It's not vain repetition. I want always to be a preacher of the Lord Jesus Christ. That men and women will give heed to Christ. They'll give heed to the message, and they'll be turned towards the message, and they'll be drawn to the Christ in the message. As well as the heeding of the word, there is the hearing of the word. Look again at the verse 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Notice the order in that verse 6. The order is they give heed to the hearing, then to the seeing. We're told, again in the verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many, and were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. So a lot was happening in the city of Samaria under the preaching of Philip. But the point is this. They gave heed to the hearing of the word first. Now what it says, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing. Yes, they also saw unclean spirits coming out of many. They also saw men who were lame being healed. But they weren't taken up with the healing. They were taken up with the hearing. The hearing of the word. The hearing came first. They weren't taken up with the miracles. They were first of all taken up with the message. And that's important. They give ear to the hearing of the word. Over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6. Read there in Luke 6 and verse 17. And he came down with them, that's the Lord Jesus, and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Notice what came first. They came to hear him. Then they came to be healed of their diseases. They came to hear Christ preach first of all. The hearing was first. Then the healing. It was the message that was came first, then the miracle of healing. I remember a preacher saying once, go in some city somewhere and hire a stadium and set a date, a special night, when miracles would be wrought and people would be healed. They up there in the stage for everybody to see. Put out a notice. He said, no doubt that stadium will be filled. But rent the same stadium a week later and put out a notice. Tonight there's going to be the preaching of Christ. Meeting starts at such and such a time. The preacher said, which of the two meetings do you think will be the best attended? And the point he was making was, people want to see the spectacular. Really, they want to be entertained. But to come and spend the night sitting under the preaching of the Word of God and the preaching of Christ, there's not as many want that today. and that is truth. And here in a scripture, we see it here before us, in a scripture, we attend to the hearing of the word first. That comes first. So as well as the heeding of the word and the hearing of the word, there was of course the healing and the word. Notice the power that Philip was given. He healed those with palsies and that were lame. But Philip's preaching of Christ resulted, mark the words, resulted in unclean spirits cry with loud voice and came out of many that were possessed with them. Isn't that interesting? Unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many. I tell you, unclean spirits don't like to hear the preaching of the gospel. And that's what the preaching of Christ's gospel does. It deals with uncleanness in a person's life. And that same gospel and the preaching of Christ will conquer the devil and drive out the devil and uncleanness in a man's life. Job asked the question, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And he answered it, not one. Job 14 verse 4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. That's right. Not one. Not one man, not one power on earth. But I tell you, the power of the gospel can bring a clean thing out of an unclean. The power of the gospel, for it breaks the power of canceled sin, sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. And the blood of Jesus Christ can wash and cleanse the vilest sinner that ever walked the face of the earth, because there's power in the blood to do so. Christ deals with uncleanness. The gospel deals with uncleanness. The blood deals with uncleanness. No wonder Paul said, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Why is he not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? For, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's why he's not ashamed of the gospel. Because it's the power of God. It's the power of God. Oh, pity the man. Pity the man that sets aside the preaching of the gospel and tries to win people and win popularity with the enticing words of man's wisdom. Pity the man and the congregation who go to the house of God on the Lord's day to have their ears tickled. I told you before about one of our ministers down in the States, and he had this man who started to attend the congregation, started to attend the services. And he was attending for a number of months, and then he just disappeared. never gave any word or reason to the minister why he left. And a few days or a few weeks after, one of the congregation happened to meet this man in the town. And they said to him, "Oh, Mr. So-and-so, we miss you at church. We haven't seen you in a while." "Oh," he says, "I'm not going back there." And they said, "Well, why not?" "I go to that church and I don't get a warm, fuzzy feeling." He stopped going to church because he didn't get a warm, fuzzy feeling. What does he expect? He obviously didn't expect to go there and hear the truth preached, and hear Christ preached, and be told about his sin, and be told about uncleanness of life. No, he wanted a warm, fuzzy feeling. Well, pity that critter. Philip wasn't interested in giving anybody a warm, fuzzy feeling in the city of Samaria. Philip was only interested in preaching Christ. And that's what he did. You see, the healing of the word, the hearing of the word, the healing and the word, and then there's the happiness and the word. We look there at that verse 8. Philip has preached Christ. There's been great changes in people's lives. And verse 8 it says, "And there was great joy in that city." Great joy. Why? Because the uncleanness in the lives of men and women had been dealt with through the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin had been dealt with. Souls had been saved. And there was great joy. And that happened through the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Philip preached there in the city of Samaria and preached Christ, revival broke out in that city. And there was great joy in that city. Well, you see, that's what happens when a soul receives. So can you imagine what it was like when so many in the city were saved? There was joy throughout the city. And that's what happens when a soul is saved. As Peter says in 1 Peter 1 verse 8, "Yet, believing, ye rejoice." Mark the words, "yet believing." And so there are many believers in the city of Samaria, and yet believing, ye rejoice. Believers rejoice. Their sins have been forgiven. The power of sin has been broken in their lives. They're on their way to heaven. "Yet believing, ye rejoice." But Peter didn't stop there. Peter says, "But believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." That word "unspeakable" simply means unable to put into words. Unable to put into words the joy that fills a man or a woman's life when they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They receive Christ as Savior. There is joy unspeakable. They have a happiness and a joy in their hearts that they never knew before. Philip, the evangelist. We've considered something of his ministry this morning. Next week, Lord willing, I want us to consider Philip and his mission. Because the Spirit of God sent Philip on a mission. We want to consider that next Sabbath day in the will of the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. our dear Lord, be by in thy presence. We thank thee, Lord, for the old time gospel, the old, old message, and yet as ever new. We know, Lord, there is no other message that dying men and women need to hear than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know there's no other message that will save the lost, deliver souls from going down to hell. No other message but the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified, risen, and exalted. Lord, write thy word upon hearts, and we pray that soon that sinners, Lord, who need the Lord, who need Christ, will be saved, plucked as brands from the burning, lifted out of the mire of sin, washed in the blood, and set on their way rejoicing, like those in the city of Samaria. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts today. Keep thy hand upon us, O Lord, as we make our way home, and be pleased to return us to thy house this evening. We once again spend time around the word and see what the word has to say about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Keep us healthy and well. And bless those, Lord, that are attending to the sick. Keep them safe and well also. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.